Accession number 18567, Reel 3.
Norman Madden, Reel 3.
Right, you put the plate in and there's shrapnel behind the plate. So they transferred me down to Exeter and they took me to Exminster Hospital. And the two doctors there x-rayed it, looked at it, and he said, yes, I think we'll be able to get him out, the shrapnel, without disturbing this plate. So, I think it was the next day, I went into the operation, and he did explain that they were coming from the back way of my leg, through the muscle, and it struck the shrapnel from that way. So, I don't exactly know how long this operation lasted, but I know I went in at 10 o'clock and I didn't wake up until 6 in the evening. And there was a nurse there, and did I want a drink? Did I want a cigarette? Which I was gasping for. And she said, I'll get the doctor for you. And the doctor come down, he said, are you feeling? I said, quite well. And he said, I got a little present for you. And he gave me a box, not that big, it was 4 inches square. There was all the shrapnel he took out of my leg. He gave back to me in the box. I don't know what happened to it. But they gave me the box of shrapnel. And I said, is everything out? And he said, yes. He said, you'll be fine. He said, I wasn't exactly happy with the plate. He said, because you, it seems as your leg is half an inch smaller than the other one. Though I've never suffered with that. Some days I do suffer with the weather affects my leg, but other than that, no, I don't affect me too much. But I spent quite a time down there. Then he sent me on.
Morton Hempstead.
Morton Hempstead. To the big hospital up there. And I was allowed home every day, but had to return at night. I wasn't allowed to stay home. Like I said, I was a sergeant then. Major Hislop was a major in charge of this Morton Hempstead Hospital. Well, of course, I used to get burned off coming home through the day, going back at night, seeing Pauline, have to catch a train at 6 o'clock and then 8 o'clock next morning. So I stayed away, stayed home. So I was absent without leave. Well, this happened quite a few times because I was bored. I couldn't do nothing. So they used to send the Red Caps down in their jeep, pick me up, take me back. I was kept up the Morton Hempstead. In the end, Major Hislop said, I've had enough of this, he said. I'm going to court-martial you. I said, for what? He said, every time you go, he said, you don't come back. He said, I'm going to send Red Caps to you. What they'd done to me was they gave me royal warrants. All the time that I was in the hospital, which I think it was about 14 months, I never drew any money. So my money accumulated. So every offence I committed, I had to have a warrant on my pay packet, and it took away so much money all the time. Then he marched me in one day after I never went back, and he brought me up and he marched me in. And of course, when you march into a, you've got to have two equal ranks or above. Well, this day he had two privates, and then I was in between the two of them. So he marched me in and he blew his top, and he was going to do this, he was going to be, my rank took away. And I said to him, I said, you got no way are you allowed to do that. I can do what I like. That's what I'm afraid you can. I said, by King's regulations, you already made one mistake. I said, by escorting me in here with two privates, which I should have demanded two sergeants. That's another thing, you're not in a position to take away my rank. The only one who can do that is the colonel with my regiment. So, anyway, he said, I'll think all this over. And he had me back the next day, and he said, well, I've considered, he said, the circumstances, how long you've been in hospital. He said, I'm not going to do nothing about de-ranking you. He said, but I'm going to shift you to a place called Bradfield, which is the other side of Collington. He said, you'll be able to travel home every day. He said, and if they are agreeable out there, which I'm sure they will be, they'll let you stay home at night. So back it goes. Thank you very much. Like, gets to Bradfield, into the lady in charge of that. I can't think of her name. She was a major in the army. And met her, like, she was very nice, and said, you got a poor record? I said, yes. I said, not, because I didn't appreciate what was done to me. I said, but it was having to come home every night just to sit in the bed and catch a train the next morning. I said, to me, it wasn't right. I must have stayed home. Yeah, she said, I can see your point. She said, I'll think of all this. She said, but you will stay in today and tonight. She said, but I will work something out for you and see what we can come up with. Anyway, the next day, I met her again in her office, and she turned around and she said, well, Sergeant, she said, what I'm going to do, she said, but you've got to have faith in me, and I've got to have faith in you. I'm going to let you go home, but I want you to report back here every Saturday and stay Saturday night to see the doctor that everything's going all right, and you can go home again Sunday. She said, are you agreeable to that? I said, well, yes, thank you very much. I'm agreeable to anything. So that was the arrangements, and I kept to it. She seemed quite nice. She went out of her way to help me out, and I appreciated it. So I kept to that agreement. I was up there for about six months. And then I had to go before a board, army board. And there was two colonels and two majors. So this was to release me from the army and bleed it out. So this happened at a place called Stover, which is down near Newton Abbott. So I went before that board and asked them questions. And they talked amongst themselves and said, no, we're very sorry, Sergeant, but you're no good to the army, but you will be discharged with an army pension.
So thank you. Was that a disability pension?
Yes. So thank you very much. I wish, in hindsight, that it never happened, because I think I could have made a good career in the army. But that's what happened. Anyway, about a week later, he came to me and said, there's a warrant to go to Taunton. You'll hand in your uniform at Taunton, and you'll pick up a suit and a hat and a mac and a pair of shoes and a shirt. You'll be kitted out, and they will give you a warrant to come back to Exeter. So I went to Taunton from there, got me suit and me, cut me down hat, and whatever, a quick measurement, yes, that'll fit. And
this is your demobilisation?
Yeah. And give me a warrant to come home to Exeter, and that was me finished. As quick as and as easy as that. I feel very better now, especially when I look around in today and they talk about stress and understanding. There was no understanding. I mean, not only me, thousands of us come out like this. You were just thrown out. There was no thought, how are you going to cope? Nobody to give you advice. It was simply, there's your suit, there's your railway ticket, you're on your own. And that was it. I never seen nobody then. You were simply just, you never existed. And I just wonder myself how people of the day, when they say they got stress, how would they have managed in the war? Because I think it was so cruel throwing you out. You've done your job through no fault of your own. You get injured, and You're just put on the side. No help, no nothing.
Do you think you were stressed when, at the time you were demobilised?
I wouldn't say I was stressed, but I thought I could have had advice given to me. They've seen you as just put on the sideline. You finish it, you're no good to us, so you're better. You don't know no more. No help in any way, which I think was wrong. Perhaps in their days they didn't look at it that way, I don't know. But I just wonder if some of these people would have coped.
Did you have nightmares or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I used to suffer a lot of pain in my leg. Quite a lot of pain, really. I went before the board twice afterwards. They said, well, that's something you've got to live with. I just felt that you just thrown out, you couldn't care less, you couldn't do your job, so that's your life finished with. Get on as best you can.
But you would have preferred a career in the army?
Oh, I would have, yeah. Oh, I would have loved it. Yeah.
Did you have to take painkillers afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, I was on tablets. I always felt that, and I always will, that it was just an object that was no good. For no fault of your own. I don't think the aftercare was there.
Did you make a complete recovery from the wound?
No. I wouldn't say yes, sometimes a plate pays me up. I can't walk far. I get very tired. If you said to me, walk down the hill, I couldn't walk back. I get terrific pain some days. Some days I'm quite good. It seems on the weather, like whether the weather is wet, and at least that's what I'd always say, it is the weather. But some days I do suffer, some days I'm quite good, but I can't walk far.
What kind of pension did you get?
My pension today, in today's money, which I think is poor, when I see what other people can get and never been through it, my pension today is £33 a week.
Is that a percentage disability?
Yeah, a percentage of disability.
What percentage is that?
28 or 29, something like that.
Has it stayed the same percentage all the time?
Yeah, never been up, never. And I think that was poor. When I look around me today and see what some people can get for doing nothing, and have contributed nothing to this country, then I think it's very poor. And I feel sure there's many of us feel the same way.
Did you have to keep reappearing at boards afterwards?
Yes, I am done recently. I think the last one I had was about 10 years ago. And just the same, just carry on as all you can. But I don't think they treated us right. No way. I should never, nobody will convince me any other that they have treated us right, because I think they've treated us terrible.
How do you feel now in 1998 about having served in the Second World War?
I wish it had never happened. I always think in my mind there are good and bad in everybody. I met some marvelous German people. And they say the same, that it wasn't their wish to go to war. You get a certain few people, and it's in England just the same. I don't blame nobody for the war, that Germans or England. I just wish, perhaps if Hitler hadn't been there, there would never have been a war. I don't think his beliefs was right. But somebody had to stand up, and if you're conscripted into an army, there's nothing you can do about it. You're all tarred with the same brush, because you're in the army, but No, I think it was a war that should never have been. Perhaps through greed. Because like I say, I've met so many good German people. And I think someone feels the same way as what I do. There is good and bad everywhere. And it's such a shame. It is always the bad that makes it worse for the good. And it seems, it always seems to follow like sheep, some of these bad people. They got to show authority, but they can't show it as a person. They got to be into a mob or a lot of people.